Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Pastor Reggie Green III.
I mean, a lot of times you can shift a room, you can shift a person simply by what you say. You can cause them, we know it in the news, by words, people will commit suicide, power of death. For some others, you could speak words to them, and just a simple word will make them think they can take over the world. The power of words. And many times, if we don't realize what we're speaking and what we're saying, what we're constantly thinking is slowly, but sometimes surely, destroying us. But there's words from God, and there's a power that comes when you begin to speak the word of God over your life. There's a transformation that takes place. That's the power. You know, how many felt good after worship today? You know, you felt something come off of you, or if you've been in prayer and you felt something come off of you, you've been to church and you leave and you feel empowered, because that's the power of being in the atmosphere, in the presence of God, in the power of God, in the word of God. And so the Bible also says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How we increase our faith simply is hearing the word of God. If today you say, man, I'm struggling with faith, a lot of times it's hearing the word of God that encourages us, hearing the stories of what God did for people in the Bible, hearing, as Bethel was sharing today, listening to the promises that he has for you and I. How many speak the promises of God over your life on a daily basis? Because there's power to it. I want to look at a scripture, because I think there are two things today. I want to read a passage in Matthew. There are two things that I really believe will shape your life. Is number one is, what do you say about Jesus, and what do you speak over your life? Who is God to you? Who does he represent in your life? Who is he? How do you see him? Because how many know that matters as well? So what do you say about the Lord, and what do you speak over your life? The power of words. In Matthew chapter 16, I want you to turn there with me. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18. We're going to read this story about where Jesus comes and he begins to ask his disciples, who do they say that he is? And so it's in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18. The scripture says this. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, oh, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I want to pull some things from this story that I believe will help us today, because what I find interesting about this story is how Jesus, he comes to his disciples and he says, who do you say that I am? And they began to spout off some powerful men. If you read, if you know your Bible, you read it. They begin to say, oh, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, others say Jeremiah and Elijah and another prophet. And they begin to share, this is who you are. And these were powerful men of God, no doubt. These were powerful men of God. But here's the issue, and I think what sometimes we've got to understand today is that they thought Jesus was just the same as everybody else. He thought they were just fit in the same category as everybody else that came along, that what they've been hearing and what people around him have been saying is that he's like the prophet, man, he's powerful. But I want to tell you that Jesus is in a category of his own. He's in a category of his own. And I believe we live in a world like that where, oh, he's just the same. If religion it works for you, it works for you. But how many know Jesus is different? And he's almighty, and he's all-powerful, and he's unique, and he's distinct. And so they begin to share, okay, this is what my friends say, this is what people say, this is what my family says. And then Jesus always, in his fashion, hits it right at home. He's like, okay, who do you say that I am? And I believe that every time, sometimes for us tonight, every now and then in our lives, Jesus comes to us, and he says, who do you say that I am? And I believe today he might be asking you the same question. Who is Jesus in your life? Is he just like everybody else? Is he just a statue, some up in the sky? Or is he, as Peter said, he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And it's interesting that that Jesus responds to him. He says, and I love it. He says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus was moved by his response. That Peter understood. He says, you know what? No, you're different. You're the Messiah. You're the one that dies for people's sins. You're the one that can deliver people. You're the one that heals people. You are the one that makes miracles happen. You're the one that gives joy and peace. He understood who he was. And I love it because Jesus responds to him. He says, you know what? And you are, and I love what he says. He gives him a name. He says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And it wasn't like on Peter the man that God was going to begin to build his church. It was on this faith and this understanding that he knew who Jesus was. He understood who he was. And I love it because when we understand who God is and we have a relationship with him, we are then able to understand who we are in the kingdom of God. It makes a world of difference because if you see God as someone who's angry, who's frustrated, who doesn't love and doesn't have grace, you live your life according to that. If you see as God as someone who can't move and he can't do miracles and he can't deliver you from your addiction, he can't deliver you from your sins, then you're going to live a life like that. But if you begin to understand and begin to just speak and say, you know what, God, you are the lover of my soul. You are the one that can move mountains. You are the one that could heal my family. You can restore my mind, restore my heart, set me on a good path. You live according to that. And so here's the power of saying who he is, because if you don't say it right, then you'll always be defeated. You'll always be defeated by your enemies. You'll always be defeated by the things in your mind and the things that you face and you come up against. And Jesus responds to Peter. He says, when he understood this, he says, not even the gates of hell will prevail against you. Because here's a key that you and I have, is that when we build a life on Jesus, we build a life on his word and upon who he is, regardless of all hell that breaks through and comes against your life, you'll remain strong. And he says that, how powerful is that to Peter? He says, I'm going to call you Peter, and guess what? Because you know me like that, then not even the gates of hell will prevail against this church and prevail against what I have planned for your life. This is how powerful it is to know who your God is. This is how powerful it is to speak the right things about him, to begin to consistently tell yourself who he is in your life and how amazing and how powerful and how great he is, even when at times you don't feel it. In the scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verse 25, it says, and the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. How many of you have you transferred into building your life on Jesus? How many of you can say that you're building your career upon Jesus? Are you building your family upon Jesus? Because that is the key to your success. That is the key to it surviving, to your life, to your family, to your job, to your career, your mind, if you build it upon Jesus. And guess what? We will go through some things. That's a part of life. We will face circumstances. We will face difficulties. We will face hardships. But because we know who the Lord is, we press right on through. One of my favorite scriptures in Psalms is when the Bible says that it says, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I love this statement that King David writes. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's like sometimes our issues are not even there. They're not even present, but we could be so afraid. We can face things that we're not even really necessarily going through, but just the thought of them happening, just the thought of them coming down in our life, we're so afraid. But David writes, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they are with me. This is the power of knowing your God, is that even though you go through something, you said, I will not fear this season of my life. I know who the rock is. I know what I've built my life upon. And if I build my life right, if I build it upon my faith in Jesus and upon his word, then I'll remain. How many want to remain in the kingdom of God? Some of us, we don't think like this, but how many still want to be believers in the next 5 years? How many of you have ever thought that in the next 10 years, will you still be believing God, trusting in Him? And one way we know that we might be able to and that we can, and we know that we can with confidence say, God, I know 10 years from now I'll be living from you, is if you build your life upon Him. If you build your life upon Him. And I hope all of us in here don't have a desire just to live for God one night or a couple days, but that in our hearts we would say, Lord, I got a life to build upon you. I got a family to build. I got a life. I got a career to build. I got things to accomplish, and I'm in this for the long haul. And so it matters what you say about Jesus. I want to look at the next thing today is the power of what you say over your life. What do you speak about you? What do you speak when you look in the mirror? What do you speak every night? And one of my thoughts is this, is the power of what happens when you're by yourself. What do you say? How about that place between when you put your head on the pillow and before you go to sleep? What are you thinking right there? What are your thoughts like? What's running through your mind? What are you saying? You know, one of the things I do with my son now is, you know, especially when I get off of work or in the morning, is I like to read the word to him. And I'll do a little message, and I'll read a scripture and teach it to him, and then we'll pray together. And I remember one time in particular, I was praying, I was reading the word, and I believe it was the presence of God, and I'm reading these words, this scripture, and I can't remember the scripture off the top of my head, is, and I'm speaking it in my heart. I'm like, man, I really, really believed it for him. And I'm crying, and he's looking at me like I don't know what he's thinking, but I'm praying, but I can feel God come down, and I'm praying, I'm speaking it, and I can feel God in my mind. He says, why don't you believe me the same way you believe for him? And I felt, man, and I've been speaking, and I felt God just personally come down and just encourage me in his word. He says, you need to speak the same way as I'm speaking, as you speak to your son, I speak to you. And it was a personal encounter, but my mind began to run, my heart began to race, and I wonder if we do the same thing, that we begin to allow God, his word, to just overcome us, and that we begin to live by what he says. And my heart towards him, towards my own son, was, I pray, and my wife will tell you, I pray that he would live according to this word, that this would be his weapon, it would be his tool, that he would do battle with these words. And I pray that even though I don't know if he understands me, but that every word would be cemented in his heart. And again, God pressing on my heart, man, you've got to live the same way. I speak the same things over your life. I speak the same things over your life. And I believe here today that if we can just get a mind on God and you begin to figure out, Lord, what are you saying about me? Your life would dramatically change. If you would begin to get your mind and your heart on God and say, Lord, what are you speaking about me? And you begin to replace your thoughts with his thoughts, your life will change. And I want to read these couple of verses, and I love what David says here, because here's the power. Here's number one thing that you do if you want to begin to speak the word of God in your life, begin to be transformed by his word, is listen to what David writes in Psalms 103, verse 1. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I love this. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with the love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. If you listen to the wording of how David says it, what I love about it is he's speaking to himself. He's telling his soul what to say. And so you and I, one, is we are responsible about what you speak over your life. And David makes a point. He says, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my inmost being, me. I praise his holy name. I'm telling myself what to do, what I'm going to do. And he says, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And he's telling his soul again, don't forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns. He says, don't forget that soul. I think there's some people you need to remind yourself and tell yourself, your soul, that do not forget the goodness of Jesus. Do not forget his love and compassion, who gives you strength, that helps you through the darkest times of your life. Don't forget that. Let your soul know what you're going to do and how you're going to think and how you're going to live. You don't allow your bank account. You don't allow people. You don't allow life to determine how you're going to think and live your life. No, despite all that, you say, my soul, me, Reggie, I'm going to say, Lord, you are good. I'm not going to forget what you've done for me. I'm not going to forget the love and the compassion and what you do for my life and how you renew my strength. David was speaking to himself. This is what my soul's going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to live. This is how I'm going to function. I'm not going to get beat up by life. I'm not going to get beat up by these old thoughts that keep running through my mind. I'm going to tell myself what I'm going to do. How many ever talk to yourself like that? And here's the word of God. Here's David saying, you're going to praise him, soul. You're going to praise him. You're going to worship him. You're going to thank him. You're going to say he's faithful and he's good. Even though you may not feel like it, even though I'm in a bind, even though my heart is, I'm kind of hurting right now, I'm still going to say the good things about the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Don't forget the Lord's benefits. Don't forget how he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Don't forget that. Remind yourself. Remind yourself. Speak it over your life. God, you're good. Lord, you renew my strength like you show your love and your compassion. Speak it over your life. Another scripture, he says in Psalms chapter 27, verse 1, it says, he speaks this. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Here he is again saying who God is in his life. He's speaking power. He's speaking life into his own heart. He's saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. What do you do when you're frustrated? What do you do when you're discouraged? What do you do when you're battling mentally? You're battling emotionally. What do you do? Do you allow those emotions and things to overtake you? Do you allow those things to drive you further and deeper into sin, into depression or anxiety? Do you allow those things to cause you to do things you're not proud of? What do you do in those moments? Do you lay in them? Do you sleep in them? And I believe that we all face those to one extent, but at one point or another in our lives. But I want to encourage you tonight. No, begin to speak over your life. Every time those thoughts come up, every time the emotion creeps in and wants you to go and to be something other than God has called you to be, that you begin to rise up in your own self and say, the Lord is my light. He's my salvation. If God is for me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And begin to get up out of your funk. Begin to get up out of your mess. Begin to get up out of your emotions and your failures and your setbacks and say, no, God, you have a plan for me. And blessed is he, right, that trust in you. Learn how to get out of the, fight your way through. My soul, my soul, my soul. You will bless the Lord. He will speak of his goodness. How many know you don't got to be defeated in those moments? You don't have to. That's not the life that God has called you to live. We spoke about it last Wednesday, that the Lord comes to give life. It said, Lord, Jesus said, I come to give life and life more abundantly. Don't die in those moments. Don't allow those to control you. Don't allow those to defeat you and cause you to be less than who God has created you and called you to be. No, be who God has called you to be by speaking his word, by transforming your life, by simply, hey, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to die here. I'm not going to allow these emotions to get the best of me. No, I need God's word, and God shows up every time. Do battle like that. The tongue has the power of life and death. You create the atmosphere by what you speak and what you say. And I hope, and I pray that every day that you wake up, that you would begin to speak the word of God over your life, regardless of how you feel. Regardless of what you're going through. Because the last time I checked, the Lord said that he didn't tell us to speak and to have faith when everything was going all right. Last time I checked, it was about having faith in the midst of a storm. It was about trusting him in the midst of insurmountable odds. It was about having faith in him despite things not working out in your favor. It was having faith in him despite being sick. It was having faith in him despite being broke. It was having faith in him despite people passing away, coming and going. It was about having faith in those moments. And when the Lord challenges his disciples as he challenges us, that's where we're supposed to have faith, that we trust God in those moments. That's what makes us unique as believers, is that our hope is in the Lord. And I bet you today, if you would just simply change the way you speak, change the way you talk, something would begin to happen in your soul, that there would be life, that there would be joy, that there would be hope, that there would be such a stillness and strength in you. When was the last time you encouraged somebody? When was the last time we did that as people? Sometimes we don't even do it because we're so discouraged in our own life. But when was the last time you spoke into someone's life and you encouraged them and you prayed for them and you spoke life into that person? When was the last time you did it in your family, in your loved ones? That you spoke a powerful word. You just said, you look good. I hope you do well. Son, I hope you, or a child, or friend, whatever. You say, man, I hope you have a great day. I hope you enjoy your day. I hope you do everything that God has called you to do. Can we be a people like that? Can we be a church like that? That when we hear somebody just going through something, we say, you know what, brother, I got your back. Sister, I got you. I'm praying for you. You're going to make it. You're going to survive. You're going to live. Sometimes I like to text my friends that just different people. I'm thinking, man, God is good, and you speak his word over your life, and because it matters. It matters. It starts with, number one, what do you see about the Lord? What do you say about the Lord in your life? Because it's from that point that you can speak great things over your life. And as you speak great things over your life, don't keep it to yourself, but speak it to somebody else. Let them know God is good. Let them know he's faithful. One of my favorite stories my grandmother has shared when I was going through my sickness, and she said a friend of ours, and her name was Sister D, and she was beginning to tell Sister D about all the things the doctor was saying, and Sister D stopped her, and Sister D says, I know what the doctors say, but what does God say? And I love that. I'll never, ever forget that. And so I got to stop you right now. In your tracks, you're speaking negative things. You're speaking evil thoughts. You're speaking bad things over your life that ain't even true. I want you to, I know what the devil said. I know what mom and dad may have said. I know what friends have said. I even know maybe what you have said, but what does God say? Because at the end of the day, that is what matters. What does the Lord say? What does he say? Because if you live by his word, there's victory, there's power, there's joy, there's healing, there's resurrection, there's all kinds of great things when it comes to speaking the word of God over your life. Can we do that today? When we worship, that's what we do. Do you know that? When we worship and we sing these songs, that what we're doing is we're putting good word, we're speaking the word of God into this atmosphere, when we worship. When we worship, that is exactly what we're doing. We're creating a praise with our words. We're saying great things about God. How great is our God? He is faithful, right? Give me faith. All those things. Because we're speaking about him. We're saying the word of God. And so I pray that you do the same in your life. I pray that you do the same in your family. You do the same on your job. And I'll close with these final thoughts. The Bible says that we are the light of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. We are the light. And I want you to understand something, that every time we go by, you are the light in your job. You are the salt. You bring flavor. And I want you to exercise it this week. Tomorrow, speak a good word over somebody's life. Begin to tell them about the goodness of Jesus. Start with your family. Start with your loved ones. But make it a point to say, you know what? I'm going to speak good things today. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to change my vocabulary. Instead of I cannot do it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Instead of I'm a sucker and I'm a loser, I'm going to say I'm a child of God. Instead of I'm going to die here, no, Lord, you can do your greatest work in my life right now. Instead of, I don't know how this is going to work out, you're going to say, Lord, you're going to work all things together for the good of those who love you. Can we do that? I believe some transformation will happen today. I believe you walk in the word of God. You walk in his truth. Your life will change. You will change people's lives. Your heart will change. Your finances will change simply because you change the way you talk. Come on, let's bow our heads tonight in the presence of the Lord. Ask the worship team to come today. What are you saying? What are you speaking? What are you believing about the Lord? Can he do the impossible in your life? Is he the Savior, the Lord and Savior of your life? Is he gracious and merciful? What are you saying about yourself? What are you constantly speaking over your life? Are you saying how dirty you are? How you're never going to make it? How you're never going to get through? How it's always going to be the same? Or are you going to speak the truth of God into your life, that I can do all things? That, Lord, your grace is sufficient. That, God, as long as I stick with you, I know everything's going to be all right. As long as I'm obedient to your word, I'm going to make it through. What are you saying? Because it makes a world of difference. Bible says we have to be renewed in our minds. We got to change the way we think. Then you'll know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. But the longer you allow your mind and yourself to be defeated by the false things you think about God, the lies that you allow to come into your heart, into your mind, and the longer you stay there, the longer you'll be defeated. This is the powerful thing I believe today about breaking and overcoming things in our life and battles in our life, is when you understand this, that the Bible says that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's in the Bible. That's a promise that the Lord gives to us. And what's powerful about that simple scripture, that he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world, is that if you understand that and you know that and you live by that, then you know you have the ability to overcome any addiction, any lie, any obstacle in your life. But a lot of times we live on the opposite side of that. We start saying greater is he in the outside than he that's in me. But I want you to understand something today. If you need to break through something and you need to overcome something in your life, I want to tell you right now, if Jesus lives inside of you, you have the power, you have the ability to overcome. And I think that one of the greatest lies that the enemy ever tells us, that we are ever allowed to take rest and root in our minds, is that we cannot overcome it. That is the greatest lie. Because if we walk according to the word of God and we're obedient to his word and we take his word, the Bible says that greater is he that's in me. And that we can overcome those things. Do not be defeated by the lies of the enemy. Don't accept those things. Don't accept the part in our life where we just say, hey, it'll always be. Don't accept that. Overcome that. Defeat that by the word of God. Grow in the word of God. Be established in him. And so I want to take this time today, just for those of you who don't know the Lord, I'll tell you right now, if Jesus is not the Lord and Savior of your life, then none of these promises are accessible to you. You can't have them unless you have the Lord. You can't have the things and the blessings and the promises of God and not have him. And him not be the Lord and Savior of your life. And some of you, you wrestle with that. You're trying to figure out, God, why don't you bless me? Why don't you open the door? I want to ask you today, is he the center of your life today? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he calling the shots? Is he the one leading you? Or is he like everybody else? How we tap into the promises and the power of God, number one, it starts by putting our faith in him, by coming to him, by repenting of our sins, by saying, you are the Lord of my, just as Peter said, he says, nah, you ain't like everybody else. You are the Messiah. You are the one with all power and all authority. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and everything has to come through you. All blessing, all good things come through you. So how we tap into that, how we get the word of God, how we get everything that we have for us, is simply it starts here today by putting our faith in Jesus, by repenting from our sins. And if we can do that tonight, if you're here today in this place, you say, you know what, I've never done that, man. The Lord, I can tell you right now, is not the center of my life. It's my sin. It's my pride. It's my ego. It's satisfying what I want to satisfy. I want to tell you, then repent today. Repent of your sins today. Repent of them. Come to the Lord. Give them to Him. Let Him be the Lord of your life. And that's you today. I want to pray for you right where you're at in your seat, right in the pew, right between you and God. I just want to lead you in a prayer today. And I hope you would pray this with all confidence and boldness, that you would allow the Lord to be the center of your life, that you would repent of your sins. Let's pray. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Lord, you call the shots. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I deserve to die for my sins, but you loved me to the end. And so I put my faith in you today because I want all that you have for my life. Thank you for all that you're going to do. Thank you for caring about me. Thank you for thinking about me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram at kirchurch.